Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Tes. Pesachim Daf Tes. We're holding Ches of Abayis right towards the bottom. We didn't quite get to the Mishnah. We left off by the two dots, a few lines up for the bottom of the page. Actually, about 12 lines up for the bottom of the page. We didn't go through the two explanations in both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We said in the Mishnah that a place where chametz is not brought, one does not have to check. Actually, on that Gemara, there's a machlekes. The Meiri brings machlekes Meiri and other sheets that he brings, whether if you have a place of chametz is typically not brought, but chametz was brought there once. At what point does it lose the status that since chametz was brought there, therefore now you have to check? Or do we say that no, once, twice, doesn't make a difference, it still retains the, as long as of course you know that chametz that was brought there was gone, you don't have to do a full-fledged bedika because it's still considered makom shemechis bechametz. So the Meiri brings a deah that once or twice is not a problem, as long as that chametz is gone, but he himself argues, Meir himself holds, that once you brought chametz there, it seems like even once, then it loses the status of a place that you don't bring chametz to, and now you got to check it fully. You're not good enough to know that whatever chametz was brought was taken out. You have to check it fully because you've changed the status. Interesting chiddush from the Meir that even though you brought it there only once. Okay, so we have a machlekes in the Mishnah said by the martef, by the seller, that that's a place where chametz is brought because the shamish goes in the middle of the meal to get more wine, and he may bring chametz with him. So Beis Shammai says you have to check the two full rows. Well, Beis Shammai's lashon is the outer upper rows. And Beis Hillel says a very similar lashon, but again, the Gemara is explaining exactly what's the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, if you have the pictures, either the Artzkos pictures or the other Gemaras have pictures, it makes these Gemaras much easier, but just for descriptive purposes, in order that we're all speaking the same language. So when a person has a cellar, so he has rows of barrels. So we're going to call it, right when he walks in, the outermost layer, we'll call it, from floor to ceiling, the layer closest to him, is we're going to refer to that as the outermost layer, and then the layers, there's barrels and barrels going backwards deeper into the cellar. So we're going to refer to the rows that are going from front to back, meaning facing the door, going deeper into the cellar as layers, and from floor to ceiling, we'll call that more as rows, the rows that go from floor to ceiling. Okay, hopefully that'll help us out a little bit. Says the Gemara. The two shuris that Beis Shammai refers to, the two shuris, what do those shuris mean? It means from the ground till the ceiling. So that's the simple taich from Rav Yehuda. It means the two outer layers, when you walk into the cellar, the layer that faces you first and the layer behind it, from floor to ceiling, all the rows from floor to ceiling, you check on those two outer layers and that's it. You don't go back to the third layer of barrels that from when you walk into the cellar that you don't have to check, but the first two outer layers, floor to ceiling, all the barrels, you have to check. That is Rabbi Yehuda in Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda, no, Shur Achas Kamingam. You check the outermost layer facing you when you walk into the cellar, the outermost layer floor to ceiling, you check, and then you go across the top. You're checking across the top that full, all the barrels that go facing the ceiling across the top. So basically, it's like an L shape that facing the door and facing the ceiling. You check all those barrels, two full rows, so to speak, two full layers, but one facing the door and one facing the ceiling. That is Beis Shammai. The Rambam's a Braisa, again, we have Machlokes, is what Beis Shammai holds. It's either way, it's two complete rows of barrels. Either floor to ceiling, two complete rows, or one complete row floor to ceiling, and one complete row across the ceiling, one complete layer really across the ceiling. That is the two malachim. The Mer brings a brice at the back of each malach. Beis Hillel is going to have a much less encompassing search. Let's see. Tani Kavas to review the right going to Yehuda's malach Beis Shammai and Raya Tani Kavas to Bechon Raya in Rebecha's malach Beis Shammai. Tani Kavas to Yehuda Beis Shammai Imim Shtei Shuris Al Penei Kol Martev Two Shuris Al Penei Kol Martev Ushtei Shuris Amru. It's very clear. They elaborated two shuris are what mina aretz vashpei kaira from floor to ceiling. So the two most outer layers of rows from floor to ceiling. Tani Kavas to Bechon Raya to Bechonon because it says Shtei Shuris Al Penei Kol Martev Chitzayna Raya Sapesach the whole outermost row. Floor to ceiling, where it faces the doorway, and the uppermost row that faces the ceiling, that goes across the entire cellar, facing the ceiling, like the L shape, that which is behind the outermost row facing the door, or that which is below the uppermost row facing the ceiling, that does not have to be checked, because that's not included in only the L shape, the outer and uppermost rows. Okay. Basil argues and says, no, you only have to check the two shuris hachitzainis that are the tallest. So it's got to be both the outer and the tallest. So you're not checking full rows, floor to ceiling, or full rows, full layers across the entire ceiling. You're checking only two, like literally a row of barrels across. What, just one line of barrels across? Actually, Bezalel saying two lines, but which two lines? The outer and upper. So the question is, what does that mean? Machlekes. Rav says, go to the outermost layer, the layer of barrels that face you, right when you walk out into the cellar, that first layer. Go to the top row and that of that outer layer, and the second to top row of the most outer layer, and that's it. Just those two rows. That's Beishabes, but that is Rav's Mehalach in Bezalel. El Yainav Shlamatemenu. Shmuel Amar. Very similar, only two rows again, but you go to the outermost row and you do the top row of the outermost row facing the door, and then the top row behind it. So it's the two top rows, the first line and the second line, the two top rows. That's Shmuel in Beis Hillel. Okay, says my time to Rav. What's John Rav who learns that it's the uppermost row of barrels on the outer line and the second highest row of barrels on the outer line, because he focuses on the word Daich Chitzainis. Chitzainis means outer, Daf with outer layer. I have a Yanis Chitzainis, says a Yanis. Lamute Tatai Tatayasa. It comes to exclude anything lower than the top two layers, meaning the third row. The third row from the top on this outermost layer. The third row from the top is excluded, only the top two. That's the word of Yanis comes to exclude, but it means Dafka, the outermost row, according to Rav in Beis Hillel. Shmuel Amar, El Yanis Shofimimimimim, means the uppermost row on the, again, the outer layer. Uppermost row, and the second to outer layer, the uppermost row. Why? Because he's focused on my time at Daik Al Yainis. He's focused on the word Al Yainis. I have a Chitzainis, but also says Chitzainis is outer one, and the second one for the back is not the outer. No, it comes to exclude the third one for the back. Lemut Gavasa. It comes to exclude the outer one comes to exclude. Don't do the top ones even three rows back. Only the top two rows back. Do you look at the top one? Okay. Top row of barrels, only in the outer two layers, not in the third layer, back from the front. Rav Chiya Tani comes to Rav Chiya taught like Rav, V'chula Tani comes to Shmuel, but all the other Tanam taught like Shmuel, V'hilchasa, comes to Shmuel. Remember, of course, we pass like Beis Hillel, we pass like Kula. You don't have to do the full layers in both directions, like the L shape, or the full first two layers, the outer layer and the inner layer. Rather, you do just those two rows like Beis Hillel, and which two rows? The way Shmuel explains Beis Hillel, and not the way Rav explains Beis Hillel. Okay, Zakta Mishnah, test someone off on top. This Mishnah and Gemara, really, I mean, we're going to get back to the topics that we've been discussing throughout the first nine blot, the first eight blot, really, the first or seven blot, through Daf Ches. We've been discussing different topics of bedikas and beers. We will get back to that. We're really still discussing a topic of beer, but really today's Daf, we'll move into a Shas topic of Ein Safik Maitz Medavadi. We touched on Ein Safik Maitz Medavadi in yesterday's Daf, where we discussed that if you have a Chametz in the Chatzar, Rav said, you don't have to check. Why? Because the ravens ate it. The ravens for sure ate it. That was the Gemara. You don't have to check. So we had a discussion in the Achreinim, Machlekes Beis Yosef Rama. Is it only where you are mesupik if there's chametz in the chutzner? Meaning, like everyone else, you're not sure if there's chametz, so you do bedika to make sure there's no chametz. The chutzner, where you're not sure, you don't have to bedika because you rely on the ravens. But Beis Yosef says only when you're mesupik. But if there's vade chametz there, you do have to check. And we explain for the mishabura in the Beis Yosef because ain't suffering might be the vade. Once there's vade chametz there, the suffering that the ravens may have eaten it is not enough to take away the vade, and you certainly have to check. That was how the mishabura explained in the shacharach. Rama argues, says no, Rav is din that chametz in the chutzner, you don't have to check, even though you know for sure there was chametz in the chutzner. According to Rama, you don't have to check because the idea is that's guaranteed that the birds ate up the crumbs, the cookies, the bread, whatever it is in the chutzner. Since it's open, the birds for sure ate it. That's not considered suffik ma'is b'vadei. It's like a vadei ma'is b'vadei. But that's going to be a big topic in today's share. The general idea of ain't suffik when you have a vadei and you have a suffik, could a suffik take away an issue of a vadei? That's going to come up based on this Mishnah. So, talk to Mishnah. Ain't chayish shem yigira chulda m'bayis l'bayis. We're not concerned that maybe a chulda drag chametz from us another house. From one place within the house, another place in the house. Tim Kane, mechatzah chatzah meirliyah in davasayif. Meaning, let's say you checked an area, you checked a house. You're not chayish after you check a chulda, a weasel took chametz from a different house and burned it to your house. Or you checked one room and then you went to the other room. Maybe the chulda brought chametz from the room that was not checked to a room that was checked. It's ain't the davasayif. If you're worried about that, you're never going to be able to have a good checking. The first one actually asked, Ben Yeshua asked, what's the havamina? What's the havamina that you should be worried? Meaning, the Gemara obviously said, the Mishnah obviously says ain't the davasayif, but meaning, there's no suffix. If I have no reason to believe a chulda brought bread here, so why would I assume, since when am I worried about tzveikas, that maybe some unusual circumstance happened, and now there's chametz here. Since when do we worry about such unusual tzveikas? If you saw a chulda walking, mela. If you know there was bread somewhere, the mela. I don't know there was bread in another room. and I didn't see a chulda. So I should be worried that maybe there was bread in another room, and maybe the chulda brought it. You're talking about svek svek, because all of a sudden, why am I worried about that over here? We typically don't worry about such things. Azay frek the Pnei Yeshua, answer the Pnei Yeshua with a big yisayid, and this is a concept we've already touched on in this Masechta, that you're right, typically, we're not so makbid on svekas, we're not so makbid we're not so concerned about unusual circumstances, but we already find the whole din of bedika is really a chumra d'rabbanan, misafik, the whole din of bedika. The person typically checks his house before Pesach and makes sure there's no chametz. Furthermore, besides for the general checking he does, he's mevatlos chametz. Yet there's a din of baitkin al-aranair on the 14th, right? There's a din to do bedika specifically. We see that the whole concept of bedika, which is a din d'rabbanan, that we're makbid on, in order to protect for finding chametz, is because, we'll get to the because in a second, but we see that we have this concept that we're extra makbid by chametz, and therefore there may have been a half minute to worry, even about, we'll call it this svek sveka, that maybe there was bread, and maybe the cholder brought the bread, so therefore, Misha has to say, you don't have to worry about, because if you do, ain't the devil safe. But again, it's based on the fact that we're so makbid by chametz, and it's time for us to speak out again, the Radvaz, we spoke a couple of days ago, but the Ravaz points out in Simon in his Tshuvas, in Tshuva Tuf Kuf Ayin Zayin, Ravaz speaks out, why was Chazal so machmer by Chametz? It's not just Chazal. The Torah is machmer by Rabbi Yematzah, Tashbisu, Isra Na, Isra Chila. There's so many chumras related to Chametz, so he brings two Yisraelites. We don't find these type of chumras by any other Isra, even Isra Karas, even Isra Chalev, even other Isra, only have a desire you find, you have to get rid of it to the house. You don't find this notion of, you're not allowed to have a non-kosher meat in your house. You just have to be careful not to eat it, because you don't find this musik by other isurim. So the Radvaz explains, we spoke out, he gives two primary explanations. One is like logic, pshat, and one is spirituality. The first malach is al pi svara, that you have a combination of three over here that you don't have anywhere else. What is the combination of three? Achiv karis. Isser hana, we have cases of isser hana that aren't chayv karas. We have cases of chayv karas aren't sabana. Chaylev is chayv karas for needs chaylev, but not sabana. On the contrary, you could use it. We spoke out for in the second parak of Shabbos. And remember, Likin, you can use it for your fats, for your oils, for your wicks, right? If it's in the right status, right, that it's gonna be a steady wick. You're allowed to use chaylev. So chaylev is karas basabana. Over here, we have a chametz is both karas. Asabana, and here's the key factor that you certainly don't have anywhere else. There may be other cases of karas asabana, but you don't have this concept of lay bedili. 346 days a year, a person eats chametz, no problem. The only the other 8 days of the year, you're not eating chametz. So since the vast majority of the year, you're allowed to eat chametz, there's a mitzvah to eat chametz in many cases, you eat chalav Shabbos, it doesn't have to be chametz, but the point is we eat chametz regularly throughout the year. All of a sudden 8 days becomes aser, we're not bedili, we're not used to being separated from it. And therefore, because of this three-pronged combination of karis, asabana, and le bedili, that's why there's extra chametz already starting in the Torah, and vayter with the drabanans, and that explains very well, this Bnei Yeshua, why there'd be a havmina that maybe worried about svek svekas as well, that type of idea of a Chulda, at least for Havmina. The other Mahalach, the Red Vaz brings, why was so Machmer Legabe Chametz, is based on the idea. We actually point out for the Beis Sascher, he had a beautiful day, because the first words of the Masechta, Ur La Arba Aser, on the night of the 14th, we check Beitkas Chametz Laraner, and he explained that what this is referring to is when a person turns Bar Mitzvah, on the Ur La Arba Aser turns Bar Mitzvah, he has to get rid of the Chametz. Chametz represents the Sar Shab Isa, represents the evil thoughts, inclinations inside us, the gaiva, that which leads us to Averis inside us, is the Sar Shabbat Isa, right? The leavened dough, Shabbat Isa, that's inside us. And what do? Bait Laraner, you get rid of it Laraner to the R of Tyre, Kidemar Tyre. But the point is, Chametz represents Sar Shabbat Isa. The Ravaz doesn't go to the whole shtickle, we just quote from Reis Asher. He just says, because Chametz represents Sar Shabbat Isa, we're so makbet to get rid of it, we're extra makbet, which is very interesting. We're saying, like halachic dinim that are based on this spiritual idea. I mean, that's obviously the Tyre all relates, it all ties together. So it's not such a chiddush, but it's you don't find too often that we say we connect the deeper meaning behind the halacha together with the chumras that are found in the halacha. The chumras are found over here by chametz because of the deeper idea, says the Radvaz, of getting rid of the Sar Shabisa. Very interesting. Okay, says the Gemara. So Amisha said that if one does not have to worry about a weasel, about a chulda, going grabbing chametz from place to place, if you checked, your mekaymus and they were clean for chametz, it's fine. You don't have to be chayshah. Says the Gemara. That's only because you didn't see it. Time the chazin and shakal, only because you didn't see the chulda having walking around with some bread into the house. Hachazina the shakal, but if you saw the weasel take the bread to the house, then you wouldn't have to worry about it, which makes sense. Perfect Gemara, what do you mean? Chashino by bedika, you have to chashini bedika, v'amai, neima achalte. What does the weasel do with the bread? He eats it. So why vaitish you have to check? Even if you saw the weasel with the bread, why is he taking the bread and storing it? Because he's planning to eat it. So if he's eating it anyway, it's vaitish, shouldn't be an issue. Kiddush Rav Chametz. Mila Tanan asked Gemara a raya to back this up, that we say the weasel for sure ate what it found. Maduris Avichavim Tameim. Maduris is a fancy way of saying that the Dira of Goyim is Tameh. The Dira of Goyim is Tameh. Why? Because they take their stillborn babies, their Nephilim, when they have a Nephilim, they just bury it there in the house. So therefore, once the guy lives in the house, you have to be worried that they bury the Nephilim in the house, and the house is Tameh. Now, interesting, Mashi points out there's a Machloikis, Rav Shimon Ben Yechai, and the Rabbanan. By Goyim, what type of Tumah do Akam have? So everyone seems to agree that this Tumah is Maga and Tumah is Masa. Touching the dead body of a guy, lifting the dead body of a guy, does carry Tumah, and therefore the Nephilim of the guy would have Tumah as well. But oil is a Machloikis. Rav Chum says it's Tumah of oil, whereas Rav Shimon Yechai says there's no Tumah of oil. We actually pass Rav Shimon Yechai, which is a very relevant halacha, because we pass Rav Shimon Yechai. So let's say you're in an area where, you know, there's only Goyim, there's no Yidin. Let's say a hospital, for example. A Goyim would be able to walk into a building or a place where you know there's only Goyim there, even though there may be Goyim that died. It wouldn't be an issue for a Goyim to go in there because again, if we pass the Tumas Eil does not apply by Goyim, only Tumas Meis, Tumas Maga, and Tumas Masa, as long as he's not touching or lifting a dead person, the Goyim would be fine. According to Chum, it would be a problem because even Tumas Eil applies to Goyim. So at first Rashi, it's very clear that this Mishnah fits easily. Like the Chumim, you're worried about stillborn being buried in the house and you have Tumas Eil. Rashi says further, you can even go that this Mishnah, which is saying that you have to be worried about the house being tummy, applies even according to Shimon Yechai, because they don't bury their stillborns, they don't bury them fully into the ground properly, and there could be a little part of the body of the nafil sticking out, and therefore it leads to Tumas Maga, even Shimon Yechai could agree. Okay, so this is me dissenting view. We'll get back in a second. Let's first quote the rest of this Mishnah, and then we'll circle back to this mission of Eilus in the 18th Berak, and then we'll circle back to this discussion in Rashi. Okay, so the house of a guy is Tamei. How long does the guy have to be living in this house to worry about the house needing Bedika, meaning to be searched to make sure that it's tar from any Nephilim, from any stillborn babies? For Tuma, Abraham Yaim, only if he's there 40 days. If he's there 40 days, because 40 days is the minimum share to have a status of an Eiffel, only if he's there 40 days, we'll be concerned. Which is a Chiddush, because what does 40 days have to do with it? Maybe he came in and his wife or his girlfriend, whoever he was living with, already was pregnant. The answer is, whole thing's a Suffolk anyway. Since whole thing's a Suffolk, we only are worried when they already lived there 40 days, even though the person could have come in already pregnant. Okay, even if he has a wife, but he's a guy. A guy doesn't need a wife to father a child, and therefore we're concerned that maybe he's Mazanua people, and maybe there's a stillborn there. Chamakav shecholda. Yeah. Now here's the key words. Chamakav shecholda v'chazir yuchal alech. Any place where a cholzo or davar acher, a chazir, is able to go and would therefore eat up, would devour this leftover, this nafil. Ain't Tzarech Bedikah, only Bedikah, because he can say for sure, with certainty, it was removed. So we have a kasha by us, saying that the weasel is not a problem because we're not worried about it. Mashba, but we the Mar's Medayik. But if you did see the weasel with bread, you'd have to be worried and have to go search it out, find where he took the bread. And we don't say the weasel for sure ate it up. Over there by Tumah, we clearly say the weasel or the Davracha for sure ate it up. So why over here are we saying the weasel didn't eat it up? And over there, yes, that's the Mar's question. Before we get the Mar's answer, just an important point in this discussion, Rashi again says this Mishnah in Eilus could be going even according to Shimon Yechai, and we're saying the reason why if there's Tumah even according to Shimon Yechai, who only holds this Tumah as Eil by a guy, is because we're concerned for Maga Masa. Why Maga? Because the baby wasn't fully buried, and therefore there could be that the Nephil, you could touch the Nephil. That is Rashi. Chidushi Aran doesn't like it. He says that only fits according to Chumim, because you don't assume that the Nephil wasn't buried fully. The assumption is the Nephil would be fully buried, and you want to come to Maga, and therefore we're talking about only Tumas Eil, which is interesting, because Chosh Iran doesn't like that interpretation of Rashi so much. He'd rather make the Mishnah go only like the Rabbanan, not like Shimon Yechai, which typically would be great, but we don't pass like the Rabbanan. We pass like Shimon Yechai. He'd rather make the Mishnah go Shloik Elchaza, like the Rabbanan, as opposed to Shimon Yechai, rather than say that the Nephil is partially sticking out, because uncommon that you're going to not bury the baby fully. Now, Rishash wants to explain Rashi. Rishash has a beautiful Chiddush. Rishash wants to explain a massive Chiddush, but a beautiful Chiddush. It's a big Yisayid in Hilchos Tumah. It's good for us just to spend a second just to speak out over here. The Rishash wants to explain for Rashi, meaning we have a problem that Rashi's saying this Tumas Maga, and we're explaining it must be the baby wasn't fully buried, otherwise, how will you touch the baby? The Rishash says no. Rashi's maskim to the Chiddush Iran that when they buried the Nephil, they buried the Nephil fully. And still, it's this Tumas Maga. Why? So Rashi explains as follows. And Aruch Simech agrees to this Chiddush as well. When we talk about Tumas Eil, there's a big Yisayin, Tumas Eil. When we talk about Tumas Eil, we always talk about there's three ways to have Tumas Eil. One way to have Tumas Eil is where a person and the mace are together in the same aisle. It's the classic case that the Torah describes as tumas oil. A person and the mace are found under the same roof, so the tumas spreads, the oil, the roof causes the tumas of the mace to spread throughout the tent, and the person becomes tummy tumas mace. That's one case. The other two cases are opposite of each other, inverse. Either you have a mace, could be out, forget about, no roof, no ceiling. You have a mace, and the person himself is mile, he's mile over the mace, or the other way, or you have the mace being mile over the person, you're carrying the mace over the person. So the Rishash wants to say that in a case where you have taka, where you have the mace together inside a tent with a person, that's, let me be clear. The Rishash wants to say the only time that you really have what's called tumas oil, and the dine tumas oil, is we have the mace and the person under one roof. When they're each together under the same roof, that's really tumas oil. The other two forms of tumas oil that we call oil is not really tumas oil. You know what that's called? It's another form of maga, big chiddush. Even though you're not actually touching, if a live person walks over the mace and he's mahil himself on the mace, that's like a tumas oil, but it's not really tumas oil. You know what category that falls under? Falls under maga. Vice versa, if the mace goes over, somehow the mace is carried over the live person, that's not oil. That's called tumas maga. That is a massive chiddush for the Rishash. The tumas oil, what we always call having three different possibilities, is really only one possibility that's called oil. The other two possibilities are called tumas maga. Says Rishash, beautiful. According to this, that's Pshat Rashi. Even Rav Shimon Yochai agrees that this tumas maga by a guy, by a mace of a guy, this tumas maga. So if a person is walking, even though there's no tumas oil, but tumas maga there is. If the yid walks around the house and he walks over the spot where the guy was, that would be tumas maga. Tumas maga, even Rav Shimon Yochai agrees, would exist. And therefore, this mishnah does not have to go only according to Chamim, but even according to Rav Shimon Yochai. Rashi saying, why? Because even after tumas maga here, not because the nefer wasn't fully buried. Even if it was fully buried, you say, is tumas maga, i.e. the person being mahil, the live person walking over, the yid walking over the spot where the nafel is buried, that would be another form of maga. Beautiful pshat from the Rishash based on this big chiddush. Again, the Arsameach, other chorim agree to this Rishash that we have this new concept we're saying within the category we typically consider oil is actually, two of those cases, actually called maga. It's clear others argue, without getting too far sidetracked, there's a whole shtickle terror from the Radvaz, how Elionavi went and he found that the woman who had the baby, the young boy that died, he went and he put his mouth over the baby's mouth, over the child's mouth, and he brought him back to life. And the question is, Eliyahu Navi, we know was Pinchas. Eliyahu Navi, Chazal tells us, was really Pinchas. If Eliyahu Navi was Pinchas, Pinchas is Pinchas Akayin, Pinchas Akayin cannot become Tami. How did Eliyahu Navi make himself Tami? He says various answers given that there's Pukuch Nefesh, obviously resuscitating a dead person, is Pukuch Nefesh, Akayin can make himself Tami for such a thing. Maybe Eliyahu and Pinchas were not the same Neshama, they were the same Neshama, but they weren't the same Guf, so maybe they weren't really, he wasn't really Akayin, he just had the same Neshama as Pinchas, but wasn't Akayin. There's various answers given. One of the answers Radvaz gives is that Eliyahu Navi didn't actually go mouth to mouth. It wasn't mamish mouth to mouth resuscitation. He just hovered over the dead boy, and he brought him back to life, Aide hovering over and breathing into his mouth, but he didn't actually touch him. That's an answer the Rav gives. He brings other reasons why that answer is no good, but theoretically he likes the answer. Now clearly he's being mal over this dead boy. Let me go back a step. One of the answers they bring is that the baby, the young boy, this woman and the child were not Jewish. They weren't Jewish, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem of tumah. But says the Radvaz on that the Elionavi was being mile over them, but not actually touching, which fits great according to Shimon Yochai that an oil doesn't give off tumah. But if you go into Shashas Chiddush, that when you mile yourself with your body over a mace, over a guy, that becomes like maga, then l'chayre, you should be back to the problem. You should be back to the problem of tumas maga, which even Shimon Yochai agrees to tumas maga, and it wouldn't help. Clearly, the Radvaz is not agreeing. Again, he doesn't like this teretz anyway, but the Radvaz is not agreeing to see safe in the Rishash. But we have a Gemara Chiddush, a big safe in the Rishash, and it's not universally accepted. Okay, that's the topic of tumah. Let's get back to our sugya, where we're saying by us the weasel is not, we're concerned that if it did bring him bread, it didn't eat it up. Yet over here, by Tumas Oil, by the case of Mishnah Oilus, by the Nafel, we see if there's a weasel there, he for sure ate up, devoured the Nafel, you don't have to even worry about Tumah. Says the Ma'arab Zer Lekasha, Haba Basra Balechem. There's a difference between Basra and Lechem, very simple, right? There's a difference between a piece of steak, and the Havdil talk over here about a Nafel, but a piece of steak for the weasel is a piece of meat for the weasel, as opposed to bread. The bread he doesn't eat up right away. He's going to eat it up eventually, he doesn't eat up right away. The steak, we could assume, was already devoured, the Nafel is devoured. The Basra, Mishire, the Basra doesn't put anything over. The lechem, by bread, the weasel does leave some over, and therefore concerned about chametz. Amar Rava says a different answer. Hi, my Bishlam Hasam, Emar Havi, Emer Ha'alehave, over there, by the Nephil, by the case at Eilus, it's a suffix if it was there Bechlal. Emer Ha'alte. Over there, the Svek Sveika, suffix if the Nephil is even in existence. We don't know. We were assuming that Goyim bury the Nephils there when they have Nephils. But maybe there wasn't a Nephil in this case, number one. Number two, even if it was a Nephil, you have the weasel that may have eaten it, so you have now Svek Sveika, Emer Ha'alte. Avacha, the Vadik, Chasin, the Shakab, over here, where I see the weasel in my own eyes, breaking in bread, so I have only one suffix. Miyam Dechalte, have a suffix Uvadai, the ain't suffix, might be divided. These are the keywords for the next whole Ahmed, right? Over here it says, Rava, our case, our Mishnah says you don't have to worry about a weasel because you didn't see the weasel or the bread. The Gemara is medayik, but if you see a weasel carrying bread, you do have to worry. We ask, why have to worry? Chayim is going to eat it up because it's a suffix. Lamai says, maybe he ate up, maybe didn't eat it up. And therefore we say, ain't suffix, might be divided. I, over there by Eilos, we said with certainty that the weasel ate up the navel. So says Rav, it's a big difference because we didn't even know there's a Nephil. Suffolk Nephil, Suffolk ate it up. So about this only a Suffolk that the weasel would have eaten up the Nephil if the Nephil exists. But it's only a Suffolk if the Nephil even exists. And therefore, it's a Svek Svek, we're not worried. But that's only one Suffolk. We have a Vade bread. Suffolk if the bread was eaten. Ain't Suffolk might be the Vade. The Suffolk does not take away from the Vade. And we're worried about the Vade. And therefore, a person has to worry about the Chametz. Okay. Says the Gemara, if ain't Suffolk made the Vade, is that true to this cloud that we're saying, ain't that Rav is setting forth? Ain't, is again, of course, a Shas cloud. Ain't Suffolk might be the Vade. Is that indeed true? For a time, you learned the brisa. This is a nice chazara. A brisa we just quoted a couple of pot ago. Chaver itam chacham shemes to die v'nich megura mal peiros. He died and left over a storehouse full of peiros. And we're not sure if he took chumas and ma'atros. I feel him b'nei yemen. Even if he only filled up the storehouse that same day that he died, harei meches b'sukanim is b'chazaka that the mesukin because a chaver takes chumas ma'atros right away. He never leaves over his stuff as tevel untithed, and therefore we can assume with certainty that he took chumas. He took the chumas and maestras. Says Mar Vavacha Devadei Tfili Hani Peri V'Safik Maestren V'Safik Lemerson V'Kasi Safik Maestri Devadei. Over here you have Vadei Tevel. The payments of Vadei Tevel, Vadei were Tevel as a suffix if he took chumas maestras. And we're saying ain't suffix. We're saying suffix Maestri Devadei that we can assume that the chaver for sure took chumas and maestras. The chaver is a siyut Rav's klal. Answers the Gemara Big Yisaid Hasam Vadei Avadei. A chaver, it's so clear that he takes chumas and maestras always that therefore it's considered a Vadei versus a Vadei. The Vadei Maestri Kedem Chanina Chazai. That Chanina Chazai said Damer Chanina Chazai. What was his memra? Chazak al chaver she Maestri Betachas Yadei Davar. It's a chazaka that a chaver will not leave something from his hand. It's not mesukin. Very interesting. It's a chazaka, and Gemara is calling a chazaka a vadai. It's a chazaka that he doesn't leave over anything that's not mesukin, and therefore, once the chazaka gets a status of vadai, it's a vadai, which is a chiddush. When we apply chazakas normally to like a suffix, we're not sure what the story is. We apply chazaka. I understand that it's an haga. Chazaka, I mean, it's a whole shaila. She's lam the shaila. Is chazaka like a psak, or is it an haga? Agamar clearly seems to be saying chazaka is like a psak. It's a vadai. It's a vadai that the chaver took chumas and maestros, and therefore it's not considered a suffix and a vadai. It's a vadai and a vadai, which by the way, in the first room discussed, Agamar is calling it a vadai. What do you mean? Every time a chaver has chumas and maestros, he for sure took, every time he needs to take off, he for sure took off, even if he died that day. What if Khalili, he died suddenly? What if he suddenly had a heart attack? What if Khalil suddenly he was an accident? It wasn't part of his, obviously it's not usually not part of someone's plans, but it was totally unexpected over there too. So it's actually machlekes. Rabbi Chanan being on the side of Agamari, quotes Yishalmi, who says only when the chaver died biyishev. When he died biyishev, he died peacefully, a normal death. Then we say for sure he took shemus ma'aser when he left over. But it sounds like the Yishalmi, had he died suddenly, then we would be concerned. So even though we say afil ben yemen, it means he died that day, but he died peacefully. That's that the Rabbi Chanan learns based on the Yishalmi. Lemaise the Mivi says no. Agamari. Simple reading Agamar is mashma exactly like that. Agamar is mashma no matter how he died, no matter what happened, the chaver, once it's in the storage house, once it's moved to the storehouse, it's guaranteed that he already took shumas vices before he stored it up. He would not allow it. When the moment he went to the storage house, he already took shumas vices. He would not allow it to go for a second without shumas vices being taken, and therefore the chazak applies seemingly even, seems to be almost the way that he was learning a machalik is bavli and yishalmi, how far we take this chazaka. But okay, Agamar is saying, anyway, it's not suffering weights, it's a vade a vade because the chaver vade takes shumas vices. Says more further. Or another terrace. I'll tell you over there, suffix suffixu. Why? It's only a suffix because we know there's a famous cloud we've had before. Not all peiros when it comes in to the bias is subject to chumas maestros. You can be ma'arim. You can make a little bit of a trick and take it in a way where it's not mechuyev chumas maestros. That's gemar vibeis ema. Maybe it wasn't tevel to begin with. A person can make a trick, so to speak, with his tua, and he can bring it in while it's still in the chaff. And if it's still in the chaff, it wasn't considered gemar melachtoi to be subject to chumas and maestros when it was right, when it went into the storage houses, and therefore it's not chayim chumas to begin with. But today, and the reason why he would do it is in order that animals should be able to eat it. The halacha is animals can eat till even before we take chumas and maestros, animals can eat from it. let's consider eating derech arai. People also derech arai can eat, but people derech keva can't eat. So once you bring in dows, that's already considered people eating derech keva. Therefore, the solution focuses on animals eating it. But the point is, it's not mechayev in terms of meisers yet. So kadesh tevem derechas ubetuvim a meiser. So it's suffik for suffik, meaning suffik if it's even chayev a meiser. And even if it was chayv meiser, suffik that the chaver already took meiser, and therefore you could be lenient. So our question was, lechur, you're relying on the chaver take meiser. It's vade tevel. Suffik if it took meiser, ain't suffik meiser but vade. Answer number one was it's a vade of vade because the chaver zicha took meiser. Answer number two is it wasn't a vade of tevel to begin with. It's not suffik meiser to vade. It's a suffik if it's tevel because maybe it was brought in with the chaff on it, and therefore it's putter from meiser. Which is a chiddush, by the way. We're talking about a chaver. Would a chaver be ma'arim? It's interesting that we're saying, because he can be ma'arim, therefore it's a suffix. A chavar, it sounds like maybe an agamar, that maybe, yeah, maybe in order to feed the animals, a chavar would be ma'arim. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Vein suffix mitzvadai, ask him another question. Again, on this topic. Is a suffix not ma'arim mitzvadai? I have a tiny learned to the b'raisa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ma'arim b'shivchasa shematzik shech b'riman. There's a story involving a shivcha of a matzik. Matzik means a person who was a yid, Rashi points out. Look at the bottom Rashi. He was an inish ba'alma of Yisrael Havi. He was oppressing, he was a powerful person. Who was oppressing, in this case, a yid, he was oppressing his servant, Shatil Nefer Labar. And she threw her nafel into a bar, into a pit. Uba kain, she had a nafel, it's related to the story there, and she threw a nafel to a pit. And what happened? Uba kain, a kain came, he looked over the pit, on top of the opening of the pit, to see what type of child is it, a zachor, is it a keva? Laid them zachor, is it a keva? This is classic. The kain went to go see if zachor a keva, why? To see how long this maidservant, how long her tumah should be. Is her tumah going to be 40, is it a 40 day cycle, 7 days and 33 days, or is it 40 days and 66 days? Now, he's coming to see what her tumah status is. He's looking over, he's an oil, he's being mal potentially on the nafel and being mitame himself in an effort to try to see what her tum is. Check yourself before you check others. Okay, says the Gemara, and the story came from the chamim and they say, no, he's tar. This kain is tar. Why? Because the churdula, that the chulda is again the weasel, like our Mishnah, bardless they touch us like they always touch us like a polecat, right? The churdula and the bardless, the polecat could be found there, and that certainly grabbed the baby away before the kain leaned over, even though he leaned over to see it. He thought he could see it, but it was already gone by the time he leaned over. In fact, the Gemara b'hacha devadei hitila. Over here, we're talking a case where she certainly threw the navel into the pit. For suffik guru, suffik le guru, suffik whether or not the chulda, the weasel, or the bardless grabbed the baby away at that point. The suffik le guru, aishaita, at that moment, the suffik was taken away. The kasi suffik, and the suffik that maybe it was taken away, takes away the vadai, that there's a baby there, and he leaned over. The suffik that the baby was removed is taking away this vadai that he leaned over, and was saying he's tar. We should say in suffik, and should be tame. By the way, Taisa points out over here that Agamar doesn't really get involved with the whole idea of suffik tumor b'shus rabim, suffik tumor b'shus yachin, suffik tumor b'shus rabim, we go to kul and say tar. We go chumra and we say tameh, presumably even by multiple sveikas. Okay, we're going to see. We're going to say that should really strengthen the Mar's question, or maybe bring issues with our answers. Taisvitz addresses it. We're not going to get into it that much, but just to point out, Taisvitz does discuss that conversation. Okay, answers the Gemara. Le'tema shatila nefil bar. Don't say that she for sure threw nefil into the bar. El'ema shepilam kemin nefil bar. She threw something that looked like a nefil, but not sure it's a nefil. No, what does that make it? A suffix for suffix. Suffix if it's even nefil in the first place. And if it's nefil, maybe it's gone. So therefore, it's a suffix if the kain leaned over a spot where there even was a nefil. Suffix for suffix. And therefore, he says tar. Says the Mar, suffix for suffix. It's not a suffix versus a vadai. Suffix and a suffix. And if you go to the kula. Fact the Mar, but the words were, v'leid them zachem nekevahi. Ketani. The Bryce said he was checking to see if the zachem nekeva. Says the Mar, this is what we have to say. It means, leid them ruach apila, nefil apila. She definitely had something come out of her body and she threw it to the pit. That's not a shayla. Shayla is, was it even a nefil? Was even 40 days old? Did he even form to have a status of a nafil or not? Says the Gemara. Vimtib suffik if it was a nafil or if it was a ruach, just an air filled sack. Vimtib slam a nafil if it was a nafil. Hepila laid them zachar umnekeva. And Achami, we mean to say the kain was, he was ultimately checking to see if it was zachar umnekeva, but of course only on the smach that actually was a nafil, a proper nafil to begin with. It may not have even been a proper nafil, and therefore it's only a suffik, and therefore suffik if there was still around, whatever it was, suffik if there was even a nafil there and the kain was leaning over, we say suffik. We say it's actually sex fake even, the kain is going to be tar, it's not suffik meis mitivade, it's suffik versus a suffik. Ibai seima, or another answer number two, hasam vade vade, it's really takavade. It was vade an eifel, and the kain vade leaned over, abakivin the chulda bardlos mitzuyin sham, vade gero b'shaita. Since you have a weasel and a bardlos there, they for sure take it away immediately. They for sure, since this in pits, there's definitely little weasels and polecats, and they for sure grab the baby immediately, the eifel immediately, and therefore you don't have to worry about tumah. That's not called the suffix and suffix and suffix. That's called suffix and vate. So we have, if you're noticing, we see a pattern. Twice we've asked questions that we see elsewhere about suffix being might be divade, either by the chumas and maestros, by the chaver that we say, even though it's only a suffix, that we say we could assume that, and it was a vate tevel, we assume that he took off the chumas and maestros, and here too by the cholder with the kain leading over the pit, and in both cases our answers are twofold. One answer is either that no, it's a vade and a vade, vade the chaver takes maestro, vade the polecat, the weasel, takes away the baby, or we make it no longer a vade because we make the issue in the first place a suffix. Suffolk, if there was even chayv shumas maaser by the first case, and over here suffolk, if there was even a nafler in the first place, we make it a suffolk and a suffolk. So those are the two mahalchim to answer why it's not a case of suffolk maaser divided. Ask the says Gemara. Nidashir mishayir. Granted that the weasel, the bardless, is gonna. Sorry. Ask Gemara. Says Gemara. Chol de bardless mesuisham vade grow b'shaita, and the vada ivadei took away the chol de bardless for sure. Took away the mace. At that time, says the Gemara. Okay, but going back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we're saying that when the weasel, you know for sure, he took bread. You saw him taking bread. Then you have to be worried. Says the Gemara. So nihidush yemishaya migur mias vade gurum beishaita. So the Gemara is bothered that even over here too, the same way we're saying by us with the bread that if the weasel is taking it, it's eating it, it may leave some over. Why aren't we concerned that? Even though we would be concerned that the weasel didn't eat up the whole baby at once, so we're not going back to like we said before that by busser the weasel leaves nothing over, whereas by bread leaves some over. Here we're saying by busser maybe leaves something over. But even if it leaves something over, the Gemara just adds, even if it leaves something over, it for sure slept it away and pulls it off to the side. It doesn't leave it under the opening of the pit, and therefore even if it leaves something over, it doesn't finish right away. I can assume it's been dragged away, and therefore if I don't have to be concerned about tumah, that's the Gemara just adding to its second terrace. Okay, we'll skip the line in parentheses. Says Gemara, Umir meaning Chayshin Shemagur Cholda. Ask Gemara now back on our Mishnah. Do we say we're not concerned that the Cholda, that the weasel, dragged the Chametz into the house after the search? Falktani Seifa. We learned in the Seifa coming up, Masha Meshayer. This is the Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's daf. Masha Meshayer. Yanichenu Betzina. Whatever Chametz a person leaves over, when a person does a search, When he does a search, so on the 14th at night, whatever chametz he finds, whatever he's leaving over to eat in the morning, he should make sure to hide, put it in a hidden place. Why? In order not to need a bedika. Why would he need a new bedika? Because some critters are going to get to it and move it away. So he should put it in a secure place. What do we see? We are concerned about a cholda, even though we don't see it. We're concerned about cholda finding the chametz and moving it. Says Gemara, Amar Abaye Lekasha, Harba Basa, Habashesh Aser. It's a big difference. On the 14th or the 13th, there's plenty of bread around. So the weasels, we're not concerned about weasels moving bread around because the weasel knows he has plenty of bread where he wants to go. On the 14th, he's ready to the bedika, and now all the bread is hidden or destroyed already. The weasel is a shortage of bread. They have to be concerned. He's searching, and he may find your bread that you put aside for the morning. The Shchiach Rifsa, the Mar explains. Pesach has the Shchiach Rifsa b'kulabati. On the 13th, where the bread is common in all the houses, loy matzni, the weasel doesn't go and hide the bread. But Arbas on the 14th, loy Shchiach Rifsa b'kulabati. On the 14th, where there's not lots of bread in all the houses, then matzni, the weasel goes and he stores some over. So we have to be concerned in the 14th, specifically after you do B'dikas Chametz, we have a concern because the weasel has a harder time finding bread. He's going to go take some and store it, and therefore we have to be concerned, whereas on the 13th, doesn't store it. We're giving the weasel a lot of credit, a lot of chachma. Says the Amar Rav is bothered by this lumness of Rabbiya. The Chichuldan is the weasel Navi. Now, if you recall, the Gemara Megillah, this goes back many years ago, obviously, the Gemara Megillah discusses that there's 48 Neviim in Klal Yisrael, 48 male Neviim, and 7 Neviyei, 7 women that were Neviyas. One of the 7 women that were Neviyas, and this historically, was named Cholda. That's the poetry of Rav's Lashon. He's not stop asking, is the Cholda knowledgeable about Chametz? He says, you won't know what's going on. That's Pesach. There's 8 days of Pesach coming up. He has to store Chametz. He knows what's going on. Rav is saying a Lashon of V'chi Cholda Neviyah. Is Cholda Neviyah? Ironically enough, yes, she was. She was one of the 7 Neviyas. Okay. V'chi Cholda Neviyah. That the Cholda knows today's the 14th. And there's not going to be no more baking until the night when they have matzah. But right now, there's no more bread, certainly for another 8 days. And therefore, he's saving bread because he's nervous about his stockpile. Rav is a different answer. The reason why we concerned about the 14th, and we weren't concerned before that. We just spoke out that when a chulda takes it, when we could see it, that is a problem. Our mission said, when you can't see, it's not a problem. When you can see, it's a problem. So hide it because if you leave it in the open and a cholder can get to it, and you're going to see the cholder running with your bread, now you have to go search the house again. And that's why you should be careful. Taika Master Rav, we have Ryan to back up Rav. Harayat the chametz achav b'dika. Once he chametz after the b'dika, case he has, what should he do? Mashem shayin echen b'tzina. What he leaves over, he should keep b'tzina. What he leaves over, how should he keep it sinna? He should put it privately in order that it shouldn't be accessible by the chuldas. Shalei tavei chuld v'tidol b'feneinu, and in order the chuldas shouldn't come and take a piece from in front of him. V'yitzarech b'dik achrev, and he would need a b'dika afterwards. Says the Gemara, Rav Murray gives another pshat of for the Mishnah coming up later. Gezer shemineinich esav yimtzatesha. It's a gezer that maybe he'll have left over 10 pieces and he'll find only 9. The reason why you should put a betzina is not so much about the chulda per se, but if you don't put a betzina properly, we're scared you'll have to put out 10 pieces and you'll find 9, or I say even more. You worry about the chulda. If you don't hide it from the chulda, you're right. Samaze, if you don't see the chulda take, you don't have to worry normally. But if I have 10 pieces and only find 9, if I put away 10 pieces and only find 9, I know someone got access. Something got access, and I didn't see the chulda with my eyes, but I know for sure I got access, and then I'm going to have to go search. And therefore, that's my concern. Therefore, the mission later on tomorrow's daf, on daf Yudam Abayis, is going to tell us to be extra careful with the chametz after the bedika. What's interesting is the number 10 and 9, right? Does that sound familiar? 10 and 9. There's no other place in Shas, as far as I'm aware, that we have a source to put out 10 pieces of bread. We spoke about it the other day about putting out 10 pieces of bread by the bedika. This Lechari seems to be the only, it doesn't say clearly about putting up 10 pieces of bread. It just says you'll have 10 in the box after bedika. Why do you have 10? Lechari, it's because you put out 10 pieces. This would be a nice source. The Rama brings the mice that we put out 10 pieces in order to avoid a bracha levatal in case you search and find nothing. Even though he says it clearly that if you search and find nothing, the bracha is for the search, not for the 10 pieces, and therefore you wouldn't be chayev for a bracha levatala. However, the Taz argues as no, on the contrary, it's a very dangerous minute. You're putting out 10 pieces, Erev Pesach, 10 pieces of bread. What if you can't find one? What if you lose it? You're making more problems than solutions. It's vada, not a bracha v'tala. And if we should not put out 10 pieces of bread, interesting machlekes, the Rama and the Taz. Of course, it seems to be the minig of most of the belt is like the Rama. But again, those who are like Taz certainly should keep that minig because it is certainly chashas about having 10 pieces of bread out right before Pesach. There is discussion. We'll leave off with this. There's discussion. We'll have to pick up this tomorrow. Michas Yitzchak and the Kenyan Terry of machlekes. What if someone leaves his house before the 14th? If you leave the house before the 14th, if you leave the house on the 13th, you do a bedikah before you leave. If you go with Pesach, you still do bedikah before you leave. Do you make a bracha? I'm sorry, we don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha when you do bedikah before the 14th. That's stam, black and white, halacha. So if that's the case, would you put out the pieces or not? Do you say, since you don't make a bracha, you don't put out pieces? The whole reason for the pieces was to avoid bracha batala. Michas Yitzchak says, therefore, tak, you don't put out pieces. Whereas Kenyan Terry says, no, you still put out pieces when you do that bedikah because it's a way to make sure you search. We'll pause over here, pick it up here, and tomorrow.